I'd like to call a meeting to order. Pledge allegiance, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to welcome everybody to our January meeting. It's 9:00 a.m., January 8th. I'd like to just take a moment. In the past few days, we've had a passing of a friend of the board and personally, Tom Palmer. Tom passed away Saturday morning at 7:30. He was part of this building authority when the building was built. He served on the township board as a trustee, and he was presently serving as a township zoning board of appeals chairman. Tom's been a very helpful part of our community for our township, and he'll be greatly missed. He's also having a memorial this Saturday at Reynolds Jenkoff in Traverse City at 3:00 p.m. Just wanted to kind of let everybody know what's happened and our sympathies with Vicki, of course. So we'll move on. Public comment, please. Not hearing any. We'll go to the approval of the meeting agenda.
I'll make the motion to approve the meeting agenda as written.
Do we have support? Aaron?
Yep.
Any discussion? Not hearing any. All in favor signify by saying aye, please. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Our consent agenda. Do we have any changes that are needed? If not, I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to accept the consent agenda as written.
I'll second.
Okay, got support. Is there any further discussion? Not hearing any. We'll have a roll call vote.
Okay. Roll call. Holtz is absent. So Eisenhart?
Yes.
Schimansky?
Yes.
Amos?
Yes.
Boisvert, yes?
Motion carries. We'll go to the sheriff and commissioner report. I see our sheriff is present.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you. If I gotta get on a coughing jag, I apologize. I'll have to step out for a minute, but just running through your stat sheets like we do each time. December of 2018 compared to 2017 of December, there weren't a lot of differences. 911 checks were up by one. You had four. You had three in 2017. Animal control complaints, they were up by one. You had three. You had two. Car deer accidents, you had one in 2017. You had two in 2018, December. Medical calls were down by one. You had six. You had seven the previous year. Personal injury accidents were significantly down. You had three. You had eight the year before. Traffic stops were at 21, significantly up compared to five. You had a total calls of service for December 2018 were 54. 2017 were 57. Your year-end for 2018 compared to 2017, just some of the numbers we talk about. Again, 911 checks were up significantly. You had 68. You had 31 in 2017. Animal control complaints were the same. They were seven each year. Beanies not in progress were down. You had one in 2018. You had four in 2017. Car deer accidents were 22. You had 14 in 2017. Fireworks complaints were one and one. I bring that to your attention because that's always been a controversial issue with us, and it seems like still not getting a lot of complaints with it. Larcenies were down by two. You had two of them in 2018. You had four in 2017. Marine patrol complaints were down. You had seven in 2018 total. 2017 were 10. Marine stops were down by 10. You had five. You had 15. Medical calls were up. You had 95. You only had 80 in 2017. Personal injury accidents were up by two. You had 23. You had 21 in 2017. And property damage accidents were down by one. You had 14 for the year of 2018. 2017 were 15. Traffic stops were up. You had 284 for the year of 2018. You had 264 for 2017. Total calls of service for the year were 838. 2017, they were 774. Just a couple things. Are there any questions on the numbers? I mean, they're pretty self-explanatory, but couple things from the office personnel-wise. One of the last times I was here, we were down four people getting ready to send our guy out for canine, which down us five. We've actually finally made it back to only being down by one or two now. The commissioners were good enough to, in the last 25-plus years, we have never added to our road patrol. And in 2019, we're going to be able to do that. They allocated us for one more road position. With the opioid problem, with the new marijuana law that's been passed and stuff, we really needed the help with the road patrol. So we're going to be able to do that. So we have hired, we moved a gal that was our transcriptionist, Jennifer Seeley. She went on the road. She just finished up her field training right in the middle of December. So she's out by herself. Devin DeSette, which some of you may know, his mother, who works for the clerk's office. He just got off of his here a week ago from the field training, so he's out on his own. We have a gentleman by the name of Charlie LePan that's right now in his fifth or sixth week. He's green as green can be, but he's coming along for us real well. Our canine is back up and running. If you didn't see any county news, Linda did a nice job with that article. We are pressing forward with the dog now. And it looks like the dog's going to do really well with things for us. So we look for big things to happen there. Dispatch, we just hired a gal by name of Karen Otto, O-T-T-O. Just started yesterday, about as green as they get, and sometimes that's not all bad to start out with that instead of somebody else coming in. So we're hoping that we can get her on board for about 6 or 7 weeks, and then we're going to look at hiring the second person that will finally fill that slot of what we've been down for pretty near 3 years now. So. And the only other thing was the marijuana. I understand talking to your supervisor, you already passed the opt-out thing. My thing, and I applaud you for doing that because there's no big hurry to get into this. I know there's some pushback in a couple other townships, but everybody's been opting out so far. You know, the state has still not come full circle on how they want to handle this, what they want to do, and it's really causing problems, and it will really cause problems for law enforcement. So I applaud you for that, and I appreciate it. We don't have anybody yet in this, and I know times change. I know that I stand here now, and probably in a couple of years I'll be standing here saying the opposite, but we have in no townships and no villages so far that have opted in within this county. So I think that's applaudable for the county as a whole. So I thank you very much for that. I don't know if anybody has any questions or not, but.
Dan, I've got a question. I was approached by a couple people on this marijuana deal. Are you able to go into the school properties and look for drugs without being invited?
Yeah, we're allowed to run the dog. You can't run it through the parking lot, but you can the school. Our dog runs the hallway, and then if it hits something, I use it that way. The parking lots are a different deal, I understand. But the school property is school property, and they have a right to let them in there. So, and we've done those. We've done those periodically, not only over here in Elk Rapids, but throughout the county. John Morris sets those up, and we go in pretty much unannounced. Usually we take a state dog with us and also our dog with us. So that's what they've done in the past.
Is there any properties where you're prohibited under the new statute to operate?
To smoke dope or
no,
to
inspect or to cert? You
know, not that I'm aware of. Not under the new law. The only difference with the new law is, and some people are confused with it, that unless you opt in, which I understand Traverse City, downtown Traverse City did that, now you can smoke dope outside. Before, it's still, you can't just go out and smoke dope wherever you want unless that has been done through their ordinances to allow that to happen. And that's one of the biggest things people got a misconception on. Well, it's legal, so I go smoke dope walking down the street and stuff. And unless it's an opt-in issue, it is. It is still not legal like that. So Jim Rossiter's comment's been that, you know, they put everything into a box and it's got four corners on it. So his analogy is once you step outside of that box, we're gonna prosecute you. So they want their limits, they got their limits, so we'll prosecute past that.
But presently there's no guidelines really set up as far as how it's gonna be managed.
There's no guidelines for any of it right now, and that's the problem you're having with Lara and the state. If they would do that, I can get on a whole issue with that, and you know I can. But it's the whole, you know, they pass this thing with no guidelines, no nothing for law enforcement. There's really nothing for the nanogram measurement yet on what's high, what's low, just like you got with drunk driving. So now they've passed this, and now everybody's scrambling. Now everybody's scrambling to figure out what they're going to do, which is really causing. And that's why I say to all the boards, you can always opt in if that's your decision, but give this time to wash out for a year or so before that decision is made. I'm not against the CBDs that are into marijuana as you start looking at some of that stuff. But right now there was a study done in Idaho, and I'll say it was 3 months ago that I read it. It might have been four, where they've got it the THC level to 100% now. Now, most of us sitting here, as I look around, other than maybe a couple, can remember back in the 60s, early 70s, they were running 4 or 5%. Maybe 6 was high. You're running 100% THC rate. If you could tell me that somebody's going to take them CBDs and is going to make it into a good medical form, I probably would be all right with that. The problem is smoking dope, and we've taught kids not to smoke cigarettes in all these years, and the tobacco industry said, no, there's nothing wrong. Now you've run into this secondhand smoke. So now what happens with kids in our households that are involved with this whole 100% THC level of marijuana? And I think that's what people are missing the point on. It is not smoking dope that's the healing process. It's the CBDs that are in it. So I think that's what we need to keep in our minds as we pass things and do things for ordinances. So anyway.
One other question. I was in a hotel recently in southern Michigan that their policy is not to allow, and you just like smoking, not to allow smoking of marijuana or other. But I think they were in a community where they've opted in. Now, can you have an ordinance in a public building or a place of business where you...
I'd leave that with your attorney. I think so. I think you have a private... You have a private...
I don't know about a public building, okay, on this thing, but...
On a private...
Private... Employer or private building can set rules, including no smoking of anything.
I was curious because I asked them, and they said, well, the owners feel very strongly about this, and it's an issue with cleanup afterwards in the rooms, just like cigarettes, so they've opted out.
I think under the private industry, I think you can. I think it's becoming, what are you going to do with governmental? You know, I mean, even, you know, we have a no tobacco for the jail, and we're going to have to post now to say no marijuana. I mean, it's ludicrous what we're up against. That's all I'm saying. So
that is interesting. Does the board have anything else for Dan?
Dan, is there a general policy to not just your department but the police departments on how they're going to handle
the jail
driving under the influence?
There hasn't been, the Sheriff's Association hasn't come full circle with that either yet, because a lot of it's, I mean, there's some advocates out there. We have a gentleman that goes into Lansing and does the advocating for us. But I don't know if they've come up with that whole nanogram issue yet with it. And again, that's part of the whole thing from my end, or most of our sheriffs. You know, we don't know where to even go with this, because we don't know how to task our own people on how to deal with it yet. So
GMARA has a year to set up all these regulations.
Right. Right.
So there's going to be a lot of uncertainty in the future.
Yep.
For a period of time.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan.
Hey, Dan, I just wanted to say, you were talking about all the townships opting out in Antrim County. And I believe a good part of that's on you for you taking the time to come and talk to each one of us.
Oh, I appreciate that.
And to tell us that stuff. So I appreciate all that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks. Not seeing the commissioner here, we'll move on. Ambulance report, Mike.
Okay, for December, for the Elk Rapids Township and Village, there were 17 calls for service. And out of that 17, there were 16 transports. And it looks like the busiest day of the week for the whole month was on Wednesday.
What's up with that?
I don't know.
I think it's been kind of running true for a while, though, for some reason.
There were 7 calls on a Wednesday for the month. 1 on a Thursday.
And just a reminder, our contract, I spoke with Steve yesterday or the day before, and it actually will come up next December. It's been 5 years. So we'll be having to talk to Steve or MMR some more. and I'm hopeful. I'm kind of asking to try to get some numbers from them for our budgeting this year, because as I explained to him, we have to budget our 19 year here shortly. So hopefully we can keep it somewhere in the realm of where it's been. He has indicated, he hasn't indicated any change, so. But I guess we all understand there could be some increases. So with that being said, is there anything else on MMR?
No.
Okay. We'll move on to fire department. Pete?
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. I don't have anything near as interesting as marijuana to discuss. So, we were dispatched 9 times in the month of December, which made a year total of 136, which just happens to be about the exact same number we had last year. So things have stabilized. Of those 136, 49 were daytime calls that were handled by Ken alone. Just for your information, our average response to emergency calls within our own township is just under 7 minutes, and the average number of responders is 6 firefighters. That 7 minutes represents the time from dispatch to the first employee of the fire department arriving on scene. So again, we maintain a pretty good response time. Now and then I look through the NFPA manuals, and last month I went through NFPA 1720. If one of you ever want to look through it, you're all welcome to throw it on your desk. And if you want to read it before you go to bed, it helps to put you to sleep at night. But anyway, it's a recommendation. It's not an ordinance or a law, but it's a recommendation for operation of small town on-call fire departments. And as far as Ken and I can tell, we are fully in compliance with all sections of those recommendations. Current staff's at 21, all the equipment's in good order. A couple of weeks ago, Shelley asked me what a Section 2845 insurance withholding was about. I don't know if anybody wants to know any more about it, but it's an event of a natural disaster or a fire where a building is destroyed or has damage that's more than 50%. There is a state law that allows townships to put a you grab part of the payout of the fire insurance on it. And you can use that if you have to seek some remedies of your own to clean up the property. I guess, do you want any more information than that?
Yeah, it was another insurance policy that we would have to take out and pay toward in case something like that were to happen.
I don't really think it's an insurance policy. It's a policy you'd have to enact, and you'd have to establish a separate, as I read the law, you'd have to establish a separate bank account that would be an escrow account for that money that you might get. You'd have to establish a policy on how you can determine the building was more than 50% damaged, and then ask the State Insurance Commission to withhold part of that payout. So, in my 10 years of chief, I'm not sure we had one incident where we would like to use it. I'm not sure it's something at the top of my list, but I guess if the board would like more information, I'd be glad to work with you. So,
and actually the village has that.
And the village already has that.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we can let them run with it.
Okay.
Any other questions on that?
Yep.
The fire board meets a week from tomorrow, so our staff got several policy updates that's been recommended by our risk manager. And we'll also have a policy revision to transfer our Explorer program into a volunteer program. Budget recommendation is ready to go to the board, so we should have that all that stuff ready for you next month. And then we'll have recommendations for the fire board and for your board next month too on a new slate of officers for the department for the coming year. Last thing on my list is we've been discussing for a while next door possibility of a tuition assistance program as another recruitment retention tool. Recruitment retention is one of our two biggest issues that that is facing us, and use that as something again to help attract and retain good people. So Don't know where that's all going, but just to make you aware that being discussed next door. So.
And when you mentioned tuition, is that for fire training or is it for outside training?
No, it's a post-high school education.
Okay.
Most likely be people that wanted some tuition help going to NMC. If they meet criteria at the fire department in terms of minimum calls and staying in line with their training. Oh, I do have one other thing that's not on there, but we're going to probably very quickly do a Fire Officer 2 program. That'll happen, we think, in March and April. I'll give you more on it later, but we've just gotten word that that program is going to be completely changed in September. And so we have three or four people that are halfway through it. They don't complete it by September, they'll have to start all over with a whole new set of classes. So we've got enough instructors in-house that we're going to pull that off, I think. We'll do that this spring.
Okay. Anybody got a question for Pete? Got one question,
yep.
Pete. I don't know how familiar you're with it, but I'm noticing Whitewater. We had some mutual aids there this year. How's that working, and where is their fire department in your mind at this point?
I believe it was five, wasn't it, Dorrance?
Five, I'm sorry, yes.
Yep. Actually, that fire department has seemed to recover quite well. Brandon Flynn is the chief there. Seems to be the right pick for the job and seems to be fitting in with the department and the township there, so... things are progressing well. Of the five calls we had there, I think two of them were canceled before we arrived, and the other three, we were on scene less than an hour. I mean, it was really nothing substantial. So, it's coming together quite nicely. Actually, we worked fairly well with them.
Good.
So
it's quite an improvement from a year ago.
It's just a day and night.
Good.
Yeah. Yep. I commend them. They've done a nice job there. Yep.
Board, do you have anything else for Pete?
All right. Thanks.
Thank you, Pete. Move on to HRSA. I see Tom's present. Good morning, Tom.
Happy New Year. It's a slow time now for the town hall, obviously, with winter. But we had a good fall under the direction of Carolyn Hoover. The Elk Rapids Players attracted sold-out audiences to their outstanding performance of Seven Prides for Seven Brothers. We heartily congratulate all those who made this production a historic success. We'll be able to, it gives us some money to do some things with the stage, so we're looking forward to that. We have a new board member. We welcome Teresa Connect to the HRSA board in December. Window treatments are paid, although community contributions and grant funds paid for most of our investment in our beautiful window cornices and curtains, we were short of our funding goal. As we were sending out our annual fundraising letters here last month, a generous, community-minded individual stepped forward to underwrite the remaining cost of the window project, about $7,000, actually.
That's great.
So, unexpected. River Street Storm Sewer Connection. So on the far side of the hall, that roof was draining water right off to the foundation, and we're starting to get problems down there. So Dix and the building committee met and took a look, and we came to you for funding. You were kind enough to approve that, so that's all finished. And I want to thank the Village of Elk Rapids, DPW, because they ended up putting the drain pipe under the sidewalk and connected to their storm sewer. So we have a system now that drains right off that roof down into a catch basin and out into the storm sewer. So that whole issue is resolved. Years ago, we had a big rain event, and the corner of the foundation was actually soaking wet. And we lost drywall down there, and it was a little scary for the building. So that's resolved, and I thank Dick for all his work. But that doesn't end our rehabilitation there. So next, the exterior windows, and Dick, again, we identified a rotting sill and lower frames for the big windows, especially on the west side. So we've George Siegfried, who is on the building committee and who worked contracting, you know, apartment complexes and so forth, took the lead and has now gotten two bids to replace all those windows. First bid, $84,000. Second bid, $67,000. So we're looking for other alternatives, and we think maybe we can just get away with replacing some of those windows on that side. But we do want to go after state and area foundations and charities. This is not probably a community project. We'll be looking at bigger grantors for that project, and probably get back at it, you know, this summer. Calendar has been strong. Right now it's very dormant, but we had good wedding rentals this past year. Farm and gift markets were good. Parties and a well-attended Rotary Christmas dinner auction. Bookings are slow through the winter, with Rotary Club electing to hold only morning meetings at TJ Charlie's through March. But event coordinator Catherine Carlson reports strong bookings for summer 2019. So things going well. Any questions?
I have one.
Yeah.
Can you remind your treasurer that I have not received an invoice for you guys?
Oh, okay.
Sent my invoice to her in April, and I have not received your check.
Oh, okay, April. Okay. This is $100 rent that we pay.
And the maintenance fee and the rental charge.
We just get it back, so I'll make sure.
Because our fiscal year ends in March 31st.
Okay, we'll get that taken care of.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. We'll move on. We need to appoint a new Zoning Board of Appeals member. I've spoken with Joe Fisher. Joe has said he would do it. So I guess I'm going to put it in front of the board. I'd like to have a motion to appoint him to the ZBA. They have a meeting coming up, I think it's February. So if the board has any discussion, or I'd entertain a motion.
I move to appoint Joe Fisher to the Zoning Board of Appeals.
I'll second.
Okay. Do we have any discussion? Right now we're going to be operating Bob McCurry as our vice chair. He will be probably running the meeting, but I have a feeling they may talk about changing some officers because of what's just happened with Tom Palmer. So I'm not sure Bill can do another officer election after what's happened.
I haven't looked, but I assume they can, because this is a usual event that happens.
Well,
the remainder of Tom's term.
Yes.
If he has a term, I don't.
Would we want to look at reelecting all officers or just filling his seat?
I recommend you need to look at their policy and procedures, meaning the ZBA policy and procedures. Mm-hmm. I think I'd recommend just filling Tom's seat as a member, okay, on this thing. You've done that right now here, okay, mm-hmm. To fill that. Then they have to, who do you want to elect?
Well, that was the other question. It was presented to me as, do we, the board, fill that seat and that position, or do they elect that seat after we fill?
Policy and procedures as ZBA, Doris. I don't know exactly.
Okay. That. Well, if you could, I'd kind of like, you know, we've got some time, but they'd like to know the appropriate way to move forward on that. Because I didn't really think about it. I thought, well, we'll put someone on the board, but what's the process? We've never had this before, so.
Does the township board approve the slate that they elect, like they do with the fire department? I don't think you do.
No.
I think it's all within their policy and procedures, okay?
We just
appoint. And then they elect their officers internally.
Yes. Yes. Now, to say that that's, you know, I'm not just sure what the procedure is, so maybe
I'll look it up quick.
And if you'd talk with Bob or one of them over there, that would be good. And let us know as well, please.
Okay.
But when is, their meeting's like the 14th or something, Shelley?
I'm not sure.
Somewhere, but we've got a little bit of time.
It's a Tuesday.
But anyways, that was the question that was raised.
We got a vote on this one?
Yes, I'm sorry, I diverted a little bit. Yeah, we need a vote, please. All in favor signify by saying aye, please.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And Dick Holtz is absent. Okay, we'll move on to the Township Assessor, Carlene.
Good morning. Basically, what I have are resolutions that need to be passed by the board for approval of the State Tax Commission the next time that they come in to do the audit. These are the resolutions that they're going to be looking for. One of them that has to be done yearly is the guideline resolution for poverty exemptions, obviously, because that asset level and changes each year. The first thing that I want to do is request the start date of the Board of Review to be March 13th, which I believe is a Wednesday, or is that a Tuesday? It's a Wednesday, I believe. Yeah, and I'm sorry, I know I should have that in there. And the reason that I have to request that is because the board has to approve to change the start date of the Board of Review because you are actually supposed to start the second Monday in March to hear appeals from the property owners.
Are you proposing a 9 a.m. start on that day?
I can't remember. It's either going to be 3 to 9 or 9. I don't have a specific time yet for that.
Now, are you proposing the first day, and then obviously we'll have March 14th being the second day?
I'm not sure exactly what the second day is. I just know that it's going to be the start date.
What are you sure of
today? She said, quit asking me all these questions.
Quit asking all the questions.
Because we're going to be asked. I'm
yeah.
just curious.
You're right, yeah. And it has to be to equalization. Equalization actually puts it in the Antrim Review, and then I will also give it to Shelley so it goes into the Elk Rapids paper.
So you'll know, though, before we...
Yeah. I can actually give it to Shelley by the end of the day today, just so we have it.
Okay.
Do we need a motion on that, though, or are you just letting us know that's what you'd like?
It needs to be part of the minutes. Yes.
So you're proposing March 13th.
Yeah.
Not sure what time, but
and March not sure 13th. What day. No, I'm just
saying. Wednesday. Yeah. We think it's Wednesday. Yeah. Is that good enough?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you want to give us a quick overview of Resolution 2019-1?
Yeah, this is basically, and there's an application and there is policy guidelines for granting real property exemptions. A lot of times an entity, just because they're a 501c3, they assume that they're eligible for the exemption, but there's an application that they have to file and it has to be approved. And the resolution will basically approve that application.
And why are we having to renew it? Is it something that expired or is it something new?
It's something that I don't think that we have.
Okay.
And that's required by the state.
So what I would propose is we make a motion as we work through these on each one.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct? So would we have a motion or do we have a question? We have a motion then on Resolution 2019-1. I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Support. And Shelley, do you want to do roll call?
Roll call. Szymanski.
Yes.
Amos.
Yes.
Boisbert. Yes. Eisenhart.
Yes.
And Dick Holtz is absent. Okay, motion passes. We'll move on to Resolution 2019-2. Guess, would you like to give us a little?
This is the guideline resolution for poverty exemptions. Annually, the asset levels change, and the board has to approve it.
Now, this is something we do every year.
Yes.
Correct?
Okay. Yes.
I remember doing it once before. So, I guess, is there any questions on that?
I can make a motion to approve Resolution 2019-2.
I'll support. Do we have any further discussion? I'll give you time.
Okay.
We'll do a roll call.
Roll call. Amos?
Yes.
Boisvert, yes. Eisenhart?
Yes.
Schimansky?
Yes.
Motion passes, and Dick Holtz is absent. We'll move on to Resolution 2019-3.
This is a new resolution, and it's something that we haven't been doing anyway. The state requires that we have a resolution adopting the waiver of penalty and interest for non-filers of property transfer affidavits. So whenever a property transfers, the property owner is required to fill out this transfer affidavit within 45 days. A lot of times we never receive them, but this basically is telling, or the board would approve us to not collect penalty and interest. Townships don't. It would just be too difficult to track.
Okay. So I'd entertain another motion unless there's other question.
I'll make the motion to approve Resolution 2019-3.
Okay.
I'll second.
And support. And whenever you're ready.
Roll call. Boisvert, yes. Eisenhart?
Yes.
Schimansky?
Yes.
Amos?
Yes. Motion passes, and Dick Holtz is absent. Carlene, do you have anything else for us?
I do. There is a board of review course that MTA is offering and other entities that are offering. And it's not necessarily a requirement yet for the board of review to take. It's a recommendation that they do take it. It's basically procedural changes that occur each year, and it updates them yearly. There's a list of dates that I can give you. One of the closest ones that I did see was in Cadillac on February 13th at the Evergreen. I believe there's one in Charlevoix also, and in Gaylord. So I can give those to you. And it's just, I would highly recommend that the board, you know, you don't have to do that today, approves that they go to these classes. I think it's $25 a person.
What? Now, that's a half a day meeting, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's in the afternoon in Cadillac.
It's not a test, really. It's just information.
No, it's just yearly changes, procedural changes.
I know.
And to follow up on that, I think the new statute is going to require biannual training for the board of review members with annual updates.
Okay.
Yes.
And they can be taken
online.
Mm-hmm. But for the first one, I agree with Carly, they should go because of all the new changes.
Yeah,
pending.
There's a lot.
Well,
never-ending.
I think that there's something at the MTA, I can't recall, but in Grand Rapids as well about this, but if they could get that, one of those classes, now each year they're going to have to be required to take said class. Now, you said biannual. Would that be like 4 hours a year?
Or? I think the biannual one can be done online.
Oh, really?
Once it becomes a requirement, yes.
Okay. Okay. So are you going to reach out to the board members and try to get them to go?
I think I already have one on board already.
Good. Good.
And he's going to push the other one.
Well, if you can get two to go, maybe they can get
that's
the other
right.
two.
Yeah.
All right. I have a question. The question would be, how are we doing on the reappraisal? I know you've got most of your materials in and kind of wanted an update on where we were.
We're basically finished for this year. I mean, they're finished for sure. I'm 99% finished right now going through. I do have not many, but a few property owners requesting to see their new sketch before the board of review and going through it with them. So
you've already had some people reach out.
Yeah.
Good.
It's been a positive response. I mean, obviously, they want to know what they came up with. So
they're curious.
Yeah, they're curious.
Does the board have any other questions for Carlene? Anything else, Carlene? Right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
We'll move on for Antrim County Road Projects. We have Bert Thompson here. Give us our update on the smooth roads.
I'll give you
thank you, Bert.
Some information.
Thanks, Bert. What did I get?
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Oops. Well, good morning. At Dorrance's request and some suggestions, I went and estimated a couple roads for this coming season. You know, one of them was Timberlake Drive, and looked at that for an ultra-thin, like we did in Inwood Harbor. I think that would probably be a good candidate for that, and that estimate looks like about $40,000 this year. And then also looked at Winters Road, which would be a joint with Milton Township, at least between 31 and Birch Lake. And that would be a good candidate for a chip seal. And I estimate that section to be about $15,700. So half of that would be $7,855 for each township. And Milton is going to probably continue all the way across to Karen Highway with that project anyway. So it's a good opportunity to partner on that one and get that whole stretch chip sealed. It's due for it, and it'd be a good time to do it. So that's a couple things. I know you're looking at what maybe $40,000, $43,000 with our $19,000 allocation available. So those two, you know, you're looking at $46,000 there. We'll
be real close.
I don't know what your ability is to do a little more than what you have available, or you know, I know you'll collect again in December if you want to. You know, we can hold off on payment till December if you want to do that.
Well, there's the village payment that can fluctuate.
Curiosity, after this year, I know I didn't ask you to do this, so I don't expect a real answer, but are we kind of catching up now, do you feel, Bert, in our township on the roads?
There's more work out there that... And we could really be looking at doing, but I think it's nothing urgent.
Okay.
And we can just keep plugging away year to year.
Well, your cost share next year will be more, or is it 2 years out?
It'll be set. The way our new policy works is the road commission will set the total amount to allocate to townships after the state sets their budget, because that depends on how much they put towards transportation out of the income tax revenues. That's the new part of the road funding that just kicked in this state fiscal budget. So this year, the road commission said $400,000 for the township's cost share, which has typically been between $100,000 and $150,000 that we've shared in most recent years. So it's up quite a bit. So we'll know better, you know, hopefully in June, or know for sure, hopefully in June or July. The road commission can set 2020's allocation.
But we know we can count on the 19 each year that we're getting next year, at least.
Well, you can't count on it because it depends on what the state legislature puts in their budget. I mean, if they go zero, then there's nothing there to allocate to the townships. But I suspect that should go up. It was based on the $150 million that they were supposed to use from income tax money, plus they threw some extra general fund money towards it. So it's a little more than what we had earlier anticipated would be. The $400,000 is more than what we had anticipated to share. But I think it will stay about that same amount if they do the $325 million that they're supposed to do next budget cycle. And maybe they'll kick in some more. It's hard to say.
I know we have one project to finish up out on Elk Lake Road, but do you think these projects would be done first thing in the year, or would they be later on, or do you even know?
I can't.
I mean, one I know you've commented to is being done first thing, but
the we were to contractor do. Has stated they would get on them first thing in the spring. The ones that they were held over from last year, I'm confident they'll do that. The other ones, I don't like to pin them down to a schedule, because there's smaller jobs they can fit in here and there, and if we're flexible, we get better prices. If we put a deadline on it, it could affect, you know, could increase the price a little bit.
Well, you might even have a different contractor. This will be a different bid, won't it?
It could very likely be a different.
Okay.
We get a lot of competition between three contractors, so, which is good for us. We're in a perfect location. It's...
Well, I think you've reached our max on what we can spend. Right, Mike?
Yes.
So, what I really want from the board is Bert's program, correct me where I'm wrong, is he needs to have some type of commitment early on in the year so that he can go out and bid this. And we have reviewed the roads last year, and I would agree with Bert that this was our next plan of attack. So, you know, I would suggest, defer to Mike, unless he tells me otherwise, that we would, as a board, approve trying to move forward with this, at least through the bidding process, and get it in a position where we can plan on it. And I, any questions from the board? I mean, Bert's here, and that's why I want him here, so everybody understand. Bert did share with me last year that our bids were a little light, and he had to cover some extra funding for us on Inwood Harbor. Am I correct?
My estimates were low. I usually try to be high, a little bit high, but it's my fault because I wasn't accurately predicting the price of the ultra thins, but I've got that nailed down better now. We've done some in the past, but not the recent past, so I didn't have a good fix on those. But
you know where, so we've done that, I know it's a little bit more costly, but I think it's, you know, so far looks good, and I think it's more tar and chip or whatever you want to call it is okay, but I've had a lot of positive comments back on this, and I know you live out there, Aaron, on that. What's your thoughts?
I like it. Yep.
There's advantages and disadvantages to that. I mean, they'll you'll see reflective cracks through that quicker than you would on a chip seal. Chip seal's a lot more flexible, seals up the cracks better. But you get a lot better ride and a better look to it, too.
Yep, so far, so good.
Yeah. And it is more expensive. It's, 40-50% more.
You're getting a little more substance too, it appears.
A little bit, yeah. It's about 3/4 of an inch thick. So,
I. Anything, Mike?
If we can do these two roads, okay, that you outlined here for like, what's it, 47,855. If we can, like we did this year, the last payment till the end of, by the end of December when we started collecting again.
Yes.
If that's okay with you guys.
Certainly.
Okay. We can fit this in.
Okay. Well, do you want to make a motion to that point?
Okay, I'll make the motion that we do the road improvements as requested by, or to do Timberlake Drive and Winters Road.
Okay. We have support. I'll support. Further discussion. Any questions for Bert?
I've also provided a 4-year plan from the road commission's our primary road projects that we have laid out.
I was going to go there. I had some questions on that too. But
and what might be of interest to you is we are looking at tackling at least half of Cherry Avenue from the bridge up to Hicken Road. That's the worst part of it. Getting an overlay on that, so that's something that we've been looking forward to, just haven't had the funding to do that, but now it's coming in. And then a couple of years later we'll look for doing the other half of that with an overlay, so it'll be a nice road in a couple of years all the way through there.
We want to do a vote. I'd like to do a roll call, please, unless there's more discussion on this.
No. So what I just to say what this is what I think Mike said.
Yep, he approved the two roads.
to do the road improvements as recommended by Bert Thompson, Timberlake Drive at 40,000 and 7,855 for our share of Winters Road. Mm-hmm. That sound all right?
Sounds good.
Okay. So roll call. Eisenhart.
Yes.
Szymanski.
Yes.
Amos.
Yes.
And Voicert, yes.
And Dick Holtz is absent. Motion carries. Now, Bert, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you short.
Sorry, no, sorry. I got ahead of you.
No, it's fine. I'm curious about some of this because I'm getting a lot of questions about US 31 behind our building here.
I probably can't answer much on that, but
just curious if that's in the future at all.
It seems to me they had a project plan for this area, but I don't remember.
I think it was from the Hacienda up to the bridge.
I think you're right, but
and that's when then the strike came, and then it was gone. I mean, you should sit in my office and listen to the semi go over that road. Can't wait for the windows to crack.
Yeah.
Well, what I get is a lot of the folks that don't understand, you know, kind of how the appropriations go out the roads is, well, you're fixing all these secondary roads, but you're not doing anything with our main road. And that's been kind of the discussion I've had with some folks. You know, we really would like to see 31 fixed as well. We really don't have any jurisdiction over that, or any of our funding goes that way. That's another funding mechanism. But that's why I was just asking, because I've had quite a few folks notice we are fixing roads, but we have not fixed that road.
I'll try and get something out of MDOT on what their plans are for the next few years. They should have it, and they're slow to give it to me for some reason. I don't know why, but if I get that, I'll share it with you, and then we'll know. But I think there is something coming up here.
I feel something. Would it help if we, as a local unit, sent a letter to MDOT to say that we're getting concerns about this and to please contact you, or is there a file for that?
I'm sure they have a file for that, but I don't know. I don't know. They, you know, every year or every so often they do a 5-year plan or a 4-year plan. They do public meetings throughout the area and to get public input. I think that's their avenue for getting that kind of information. But
I went to one of your meetings with the public input. I felt like I just wanted to say it sounded like there's a lot of folks in our county that really want their roads fixed. I mean, this was just our type of roads. I wouldn't have had a chance to say anything because there's a lot of interest in road repair right now. But go ahead and go through the, I didn't mean to, I would just.
Sorry, I jumped ahead of you on your vote.
No, that's fine.
But I just thought I'd point out that we are working on that Cherry Avenue this year and then a couple of years down the road. We did see a little extra funding this year. In the very end of the lame duck session, they appropriated a little bit more money for roads. So we are going to see, I'm guessing, about $200,000 more to Antrim County Road Commission. So we might move some things up, and I'm looking at that Elk Lake Road chip seal as a possibility of moving that up.
Oh, really?
Especially we're going to have a big package of chip seals throughout the county this year, so we could have a pretty good pricing on that. So I'd like to get on that hopefully this year, and yeah, I don't see much else moving up this list. Some of these are, you'll notice that it's a various funding sources there. A lot of it is our federal aid that is restricted to certain roads. Not all roads are eligible for that. Not all of our primary roads are eligible for federal aid, but it's a mix of federal aid, state aid, and our local money that we have. So,
what makes them qualify for federal aid?
It's the national functional classification of the road itself. In the state, we have two types of county roads, local and primary. And then at the federal level, they break it down into, well, they break all roads down into like about 8 categories. There's local, there's, I can't even think of them right now, but there's minor and major arterials, minor and major, they just go up the list. So they break our primaries and our locals down even to different categories. So it's, you got to go up 2 levels. You got to go a local and a minor arterial to get into eligibility for federal aid. So not all our primaries are eligible for that. And we don't use federal aid on all of our primaries anyway, because it gets, federal funding is costly to administer. It takes a lot of time and resources for us to expend that money. So we're using it on our, probably our higher volume primaries and trying to do the simpler projects on those. So it reduces the amount of administrative cost we have involved in those. So federal aid is not the greatest thing in the world.
With the federal aid, is there requirements for contracting then?
Yes.
More costly.
Right, and all of those projects go through MDOT bid letting process, and we have to go through their local agency programs. We have to follow all kinds of rules, and it gets very involved, very time-consuming. So we try to minimize the workload on those projects by making them simple projects.
Does the the rollback of the prevailing rate, has that helped at all in any of those?
Not on those, because Davis-Bacon still applies federal to the federal aid. The state prevailing wage does not apply to any of this money. We haven't run into that yet, so it's mainly, that would affect mostly like school construction buildings.
Yep.
That's where it usually has the biggest impact.
Yeah.
It would have an impact on probably on MDOT jobs, state highway. Some of them, but they use mostly, they use a lot of federal aid too, so they're tied in with Davis-Bacon.
Yep.
Anything else you have for us on roads, Bert?
No, I don't think I do, unless you have any questions then.
No, I just wound up. Trish?
Elk Lake Road is a county primary road. I can't give you the national functional classification off the top of my head, but I do.
And how far does that extend as Antrim County?
To Town Line Road, from 31 to Town Line.
Okay, and my second question, what is chip seal?
Chip seal is where we spray in a liquid asphalt, a thin layer of liquid asphalt on the existing surface, and then we put an aggregate on that, and the asphalt is what you want on there. It seals everything up and makes that asphalt surface last longer. It retards the oxidation. The aggregate on there is just for traction.
It's traction,
traction basically, yeah. So, and then we top it with a fog seal. We do another thin, real thin fog or a spray of liquid asphalt on that that really locks everything together. So it does tend to help with winter traction. That aggregate is a little sharper. It stands up a little more than the original asphalt.
But it's more expensive?
It's a cheaper preventive maintenance strategy than hot mix asphalt, which is then a thicker layer that is laid down with pavers. So,
Bert, I just wanted to say thank you again on the program out there at Maple Harbor. I know you were out there a few weekends and monkeying around with those road ends, and I'm not just sure where we were with this easement. I haven't heard anything back on it, and we had a drop dead date of when we were going to give up, and I think that's this month sometime. So I'm not just sure. I should have talked to Aaron. I forgot about that until just now, but I haven't heard that we did get an easement for that pipe. So if we didn't, by whatever said time that was, we're going to probably drop that part of it and go on as planned. But I know that you've done some work out there as well, shoring up the road ends, which they look really good to me. And I'm just hoping the people leave in place what you've left there through the spring so that we can get that healed up. But I think what you've done there is a tremendous improvement over what was there. And I know we won't be able to make all people happy, but I think it looks good. And I know the collection point on the water, I know you're going to be monitoring to see if we have to pump some silt out, but, you know, I've noticed our engineers have told us some of the folks have got their downspouts going into the road now, so we're adding water that we didn't have in the past. So, again, thank you for all your support out there, because we never expected to have a road issue. And we figured the sewer line was going to be our biggest challenge. But small surprises.
Yeah. I did have a conversation with Aaron about that easement. I'm not really keen on the easement and maintaining that. I did look at an option of having a pipe bored in from that lake access so it'd run parallel to the road and tap into that catch basin. Same idea as the easement, just going straight out towards the lake. I think it was a $26,000-$27,000 estimate to bore that in there. But that's an option if it fails. I think it will improve with time. The biggest problem right now is sediment coming off of some of the gravel driveways, washing down in there and filling that in. And we'll suck it out. I think at some point, well, there's some stone in the bottom of that to keep the drainage going. That's probably plugged off, or will come become plugged at some point, we may have to suck that out and replace it, and then hopefully things will heal up around that area and we'll quit getting sediment in there to plug it off, and it won't take as much maintenance. Probably still need to get in there with the vac truck every year, a couple of years or something to maintain.
Well, there was a lot of new seeding done there and a lot of exposed
exactly.
earth, so I mean, that'll change
right.
in time, so it's, I think the problem was always there, but it was just the road had a lot more opening in it.
I think it's redirected the flow of water away from some of the people's houses and yards and whatnot. So,
does the board have any other questions for Bert?
I know I've been getting asked a lot of questions. We're saving a lot of money this winter. It's not really been saving us much money, these temperatures hanging right around freezing and this rain and then turning cold at night and freezing up. This ice just kills us. We've been going through the salt like crazy, and it's up 60% this year. Salt's expensive.
Ooh.
So just because we're not getting snow doesn't mean we're saving money. I'd rather plow a foot of lake effect than deal with this freeze thaw and ice and everything. It's easier and cheaper. But
yeah, so. Yesterday was an event.
Yeah, and we're still dealing with it today. Everything froze up overnight, and obviously schools are closed again.
Yeah,
my kids need to go back to school. It's been too long.
Well, let us know when you get the bids firmed up and everything. Yep. But that'll be our plan then, to go forward with those two roads.
I'll be working on getting those out here in the next couple of weeks, so we'll probably know next month, hopefully, on some of this. So.
Okay. Right. Well, thank you, Bert.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming over.
Yep.
Okay, we'll move on. Sportsman's Club property. We had been working on getting a letter out to the heirs of the Sportsman's Club. I know we've talked about this before. Asking if they would like to relinquish any of the considerations, because it appears that it would be pretty hard to meet all their considerations, and that letter will be sent out in the next couple of weeks. We will, and we would also, I think as a board, we've all agreed we'd be willing to keep the name, but to have that be managed as under these different considerations as generations change, as we found out with the gun club, what that expense was, we don't feel it's going to be good for our township board to try to maintain that over the next year. So if they're willing to relinquish the criteria that we have to operate under and allow the township to make a park out of it, we will probably move forward. But if not, we will give the properties or the control of the property. They own the property. We'll give the control of the properties back to the heirs to do what they wish to do with it. So that's the essence of the letter. And I know Bill will have it out, but we'll wait to hear and see what happens there. So any comment from the board?
Nope.
Okay. Bill, do you have anything to add to that?
No, that's the point.
Okay. We'll move on. Township sewer information. It's an informational meeting scheduled for Inwood Harbor and North Bay Shore Drive area, January 15th at 5:30 p.m. here in the Township Hall. And what this is for, Shelley's been doing some background work on different parts of the project. We've looked at different parts of that area. We realized that Inwood Harbor, and actually the area of interest will be from Winters Road to the village limits along Bay Shore, including Inwood Harbor. And we know that we have a sewer line coming up to Williams Road that we could then probably extend across and pick up all of this. But we want to have a meeting to bring the public in, get their feelings, good or bad, and try to find out what the interest is. We've had several folks talk to us in my own personal situation, mostly from Inwood Harbor, but I'm sure there's others that would like to support this. And knowing that the bay is an important part of our area, I think this is probably a very good project. And I do also feel that we're very fortunate to have a sewer plant in the village that we have access to, because without that, it would make it very expensive to do this project. And so far, I think we can keep the pricing in a place where it'd be less than replacing your sewer or your dry well or sewer system you presently have. But also, I see that the density has grown over the years. The use of the homes have went to full-time. They're much larger scale homes. So we're real curious to see what the input will be. We will have our engineers here. They've done some prelim work that everyone's aware of from our last meeting when we authorized it. We'll have Matt Zimmerman here from Varnum to talk about the law side of it, and also some of the planning, and also what could be coming in the future from the state as far as what might be recommended or expected. Also, we are looking at potentially some federal grants and other methods to try to help finance this and some long-term financing. Shelley's been talking about, and she also looked into it in a Maple Harbor project, but that project was, we felt, too small to warrant all the extra work and expense. So I think this project looks large enough that this may warrant that, yet to be determined. A lot on the table, a lot to look at, a lot to consider. And again, I want to emphasize, this is just an informational meeting. This has not been a planned, we have no plans in place. Just want to hear what is possible and what maybe the residents think. I'm going to ask Shelley to add to that.
No, nothing to add to that. This this is us looking at ways to keep the bay clean, just like our project in Elk, in Maple Harbor for Elk Lake. But we definitely want to talk to everybody involved and see what their interest is, and you know, put everybody together to discuss this, not just go forward with things.
We've talked, or I've talked with the Conservancy, because the Conservancy has a large tract of land in the middle along North Bay Shore that I'm sure they would have high interest in this program as well. So I just, you know, be looking forward to seeing what happens a week from today and kind of where the residents fall on this. But I think it's a good project. I think most of the folks that I've talked to that may say, well, geez, I really don't want to spend the money, would concur that, well, we probably need it. I mean, the bay is right there, and we're on a lot smaller area, and yes, we know where everything runs at the end of the day. So I think there's some positive there. It's just people have to kind of get their minds around what it is. And I know the first question will be is, what's it going to cost? And we won't be able to give an accurate number on that because this is just planning. So I mean, I'm hoping we have a good turnout and folks will ask questions and we can maybe answer some of the questions and maybe get a direction. Anyone else from the board have anything to add to that? Aaron, I know you live out there. What would you concur?
I actually live on the harbor side there on in Inwood Harbor, and you know, obviously I don't know what's in the water, but you know, it's I can leave my boat in the water for a few days, and when I pull it out, you can't hardly jackhammer the stuff off it, and the smell that's on it is not good. You know, and we have a place in UP, and I can put my boat in there for days, and literally if it's wet, rub everything off with just your hand in the water. So you know, that's not a scientific evaluation by any means, but you know, I'm not necessarily excited about spending a bunch of money on it either. That said, it's our most valuable resource, you know. So, you know, I'm in favor of it at this point, but obviously there's a lot of information to gather yet, so.
Yeah. So I just encourage anyone of interest to come out and see what we can come up with. So, yes, Trish?
I'm wondering, have you looked into having a consultant there, like maybe from the watershed, or anybody who's used to talking to people? They have come to the village several times and had really good information. So just
we felt we'd reach out. I think, Shelley, you've reached out to the Grand Traverse. Was it Bay Associate, or I forgot the name.
I did too. We have thought about that. We'll just put it out there like that.
Yeah.
But this first meeting is just more informational. We don't have testing done on the water or anything like that. It's the question is, do we move forward and start spending money on things like that for testing and for engineering to see what it'll cost, or are we the only ones interested in it? So that's what that meeting is.
When we had a meeting about the Mitchell Road, there was information from some of the citizens that DNR is moving north and they're in the middle of the state with new requirements for people that are on the water. And so some of that information was helpful in moving some of those people to think about cost.
Well, that's kind of why we wanted Matt here, because we believe in the future there's going to be requirements from the state that I would prefer to be on the front end of, where we have some control of our costs in, and maybe we can alleviate, you know, getting it kind of designated to us or directed to us. This way maybe we can kind of eliminate, or I shouldn't say eliminate, but do it in a more slow manner, I guess, the only way I can put it. But it's all wide open, it's fair game, and we'll look forward to it. So that being said, anything further on that meeting? Okay, we'll move on. The Acme to Charlevoix Trail update. What I can say about that is, I know Shelley and I have a meeting, what is it, Wednesday at 1 or 2 o'clock?
Yeah, and they do have just a small
update. As an update, yep. And we have a small update in our packet.
They've been trying to meet with property owners that would be adjacent to their proposed trail, and they're holding more meetings to come up for all property owners to ask them questions. We're going to meet one-on-one with Julie Clark and Elizabeth Calcutt from Networks Northwest regarding what they're doing so far, so that if there's anything, any concerns that we have, they'll know ahead of time before they go to the public, and vice versa. So they're really trying to reach out and gather everybody in and keep everybody informed on things.
Yes, and that meeting date, I believe, is January 22nd. And I'm not just sure where it is, but...
The Lighthouse.
The Lighthouse, exactly.
Community that is. Center, yeah.
Yep.
And that's for everybody. That'll be published, I'm pretty sure, but that's their big meeting.
Yes. So there'll be more to come on that, I'm sure. Anything else from the board? Okay, we'll move on. Attorney's report.
Attorney's report for December. Just as a matter of what the legislature did, they did not act on short-term rentals. So that legislation, which basically says short-term rental is a permitted use in R1. There's a lot more than that, but that's will have to be reintroduced and start the whole legislative process all over again. So if they wish to proceed with that.
Who was pushing that, Bill?
The Board of Realtors.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Well, in this thing, because there is tremendous money involved in this for the property owners for this thing, because the Hotel Association was against it for a while. I don't know if they still are, because it said it was cutting their business down. But like in Traverse City, when all the hotels are full, there's still a tremendous rental demand. And people all over the country are doing this.
Right.
Help pay for their taxes, help pay for their upkeep of their house, and so forth, to rent a room out.
Right.
Not necessarily the whole structure, but rent something out.
No, and I agree with that. I was wondering why someone thought the state could come in and make everybody the same, have the rules for local units, that everybody has different circumstances. That's
because of the hodgepodge of regulation right now.
Yeah.
It varies tremendously from city to city, village to village, and to township to township. Mm-hmm.
Which is their prerogative.
In theory, yes. I mean, per zone, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
The assessing law, revamping it as amended, it took out most of the controversial issues. There'll be the state tax commission will have to develop some new policies. They will start notifying the townships. They'll have about a year to do that as it comes through. But training will be an important part, I think, of the board review in the future. Proposition Proposal 3, which had to do with regulations of secret ballots and so forth, but the one that affects Shelley, I think one of the most things is you're going to have extra office hours now.
I saw that.
8 hours on a Saturday and a Sunday. Before the
What's up with that?
Election. So they can, you can split it 4 hours each day. Yeah. It must be we're, 8 hours.
So. We're already open 4 hours, so yeah, that's, but that's not the one that.
It's the day of registration. I don't, nobody knows how
Come
that's
on in
work.
On election day and register to vote. It's like, what? There's questions.
And to go one section, they did pass a law regarding EBOL and our Freedom of Information Request.
They did pass that?
Yes. I don't, personal, I'll refer to the clerks. I don't think that's the thing. What it basically says is the requester has to give official name or address, who they represent, telephone number, contact number on this thing, and it must be legitimate, okay? Townships still got to go through and make an estimate.
Yep, they didn't.
That's where our expense was, to make a, and we give a good faith estimate. Now, here's what they changed. The requester has 45 days to pay the township, or it's considered revoked. Okay? But the main work's already been done. It was a lot of work for Shelley to go through and figure out how many pages and what we can charge for and so forth. Piles and piles of it from the election. They didn't solve that problem.
Did they request full payment or is it partial?
Partial.
Yeah, that was my problem. I don't think it's right. And number one, it doesn't do anything to help Shelley on her costs. Because if we had to bring in a third party to do this, and I would say in some townships they'll have to. They don't have the equipment to do it.
What was copy costs about? Some exactly. Copy those long ballots.
It's a beginning, but it is not what I was looking for. I really feel that they needed to have a reasonable charge, but a third-party charge that would reflect what she needs for help. And we needed some sunset dates or times in there. So they have to react, and not getting full payment wasn't really what I was excited about.
You'll see more on it. This is just a summary of it as it comes through on this thing. But it was a shot, but I don't think
it wasn't enough,
issue. Yeah.
In my opinion.
They also fireworks. Even though we had one complaint, they passed a new statute which limits the use of fireworks to 12 days, greatly reducing it, 30-something.
They just didn't say who was going to enforce that, by the way, either.
No, they did not, and they did not. You know, you can enforce it and have penalties on it, but it's a job for the townships to enforce.
Yeah, okay? I mean, they do this, but they forget one important part of it.
Yeah. We heard from Dan Bean, the sheriff. The 838 calls is up from last year, but. It's in the ballpark where we've been over the last several years. A lot of the stuff I have nothing to talk about, Sportsman's Club and Wilcox Park. We have Planning Commission meeting tonight. If anybody's interested, there will be a solar energy presentation on tonight's meeting. Just as general information only, so we know what's going on in the community in Northern Michigan. So what is potentially available, the type of equipment, what it'll look like, and what the township may have to react in the future with some sort of regulations for zoning and so forth on this, or to provide for it. Nothing on the Hayden parcel, which is a developmental parcel south of town. Bertha, we've heard the report from Tom Barnish.
How much longer, excuse me, on the Hayden project? Those permits are going to fail pretty soon, aren't they?
The permits. They conform with zoning, okay? They've got a condition up there that they had to develop the road to a full width. They went through and put a asphalt on one or both sides of it to make sure the asphalt was wide enough. Their plan was in the future, before they start the main development on the north side of that road, I believe there's a house constructed on the south side. So they've initiated, so that's the issue on this thing. After they got the other road in going north and the turnaround, they were going to asphalt everything again, put a cap on it, a larger cap as to qualify. To answer your question, I, It depends on, they partially started it, okay, on this thing. If there's any future land division other than what's been done, land division may be done. I'll defer to Larry, to Carlene and to Larry on this thing. They may have parcel, separate parcels. I don't know.
My real point is, it's really not our scope anymore, is it, as far as the permit side?
No, it's just the development is out there, could be pending, okay?
Okay.
Like, Mighty's nothing on that. ZBA, I did not know about, there's a hearing apparently scheduled in February. I haven't seen that one yet. Elk Rapids Sewer, I defer to Dorrance on that because there was a, we instructed our engineers to pump or get some additional bids maybe if we were not, the village was not able to complete that on a timely fashion because we've been after that for months and haven't been able to get it done. Possible sewer extension, we already talked about that. In Wood Harbor and North Bay Shore. There will be a general meeting January 15th. Recreational marijuana, the board did pass an opt-out ordinance 2018-3. It was effective 30 days after publication and it was published Thursday, December 20th. So it's not effective yet, but it will be effective very soon.
Question, Trish, what have you done in the village? Have you guys done anything on this yet?
We did the same thing you did.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
7th Cemetery is just on my checklist. We've got some property lines still to deal with in the future. Dean Ferrier, surveyor, did mark the one by the antique, and it is there. As you drive by, you can see a stick there now with a flag on it. And then you're going to be discussing in the future, you know, the funding for possible improvements to the cemetery area. Short-term rentals, Michigan let it go at this point. It's got to start over. Reset that. Cost recovery ordinance, or the ordinance that ordinance to establish fire department structure, responsibility, and accountability, fire prevention and protection. That was passed by the board last month. It was published December 20th. We just had an effective date on it. I just picked it February 1, 30 days. So the township's fire department's already doing everything. It's in that. So independent contract for field service appraisals. That contract, just so everybody knows, was approved last month. It's going to be for 2 years and $30 a parcel to completely go through and reestablish the property cards, photos, and what's on the premises.
Which you can see on our website now. You can get to taxes and property cards.
Yep.
On our elkrapids.com website.
Is that all of them or just the ones that have been
just
done?
The ones that have been entered, okay. But I mean, yeah. Our process is working through that. It's pretty cool.
Already talked about the FEMA information request. That's all I have for you.
Thanks, Bill. Any questions from the board for Bill? Okay, we'll move on to township board announcements. I do have a meeting tomorrow, actually, with the farmland folks from the Conservancy. And we're going to talk about a potential joint township millage with Milton. And Milton's supervisor will be in. We're going to talk about maybe doing it one of the elections in this upcoming year, but it will be probably spearheaded by the Grand Traverse Land Conservancy. They're looking at doing some work in this area. It's been greater than 10 years since we ran the last millage here. I'm going to say 12. And they feel that as close as it was, it would be a question that we need to ask again. So that may be part of it. Also, Shelley and I have talked about the cemetery. And we're trying to work with 365 and others. We're going to start a project to look at what it might take to get the cemetery up to speed. And I guess Shelley, unfortunately, mostly gets the bad news when it doesn't work well. In the past year, we had several incidents where things weren't really up to snuff, and we're having to pull the funding out for the cemetery of our general fund. And frankly, we just don't have the money to do what everybody, I think, wants done. So we're going to put together a plan to update the cemetery and just do what needed to be done for years, whether it be tree removal, shrubbery removal, straightening, cleaning, leveling of the fields or the properties, maybe some seeding, maybe some irrigation. But we'll see. Hopefully we can have a couple different plans. And then we would like to ask the voters if how they feel about this, because our office, again, I'll say Shelley, most often gets the calls. And they're not always to support our good work so far that we have done. We have spent some money out there from perpetual care to repair some things that were desperately needed, whether it be trees or stone monuments and some other things. But there won't be enough there, and that's not really sustainable for that cemetery. And even though we do have a few sales, we don't have enough to generate the funding to run that cemetery and to run it the way I think our residents would like to see it run. So we're going to ask the question. And I think that'll give us some guidance on what to do, because obviously we've got to find a funding mechanism to do it properly. So Shelley, would you like to add to that?
No, that is exactly right. I mean, we have burials from the 1800s there and all the way up to current. And not only are we running out of spaces, but we just can't keep up with, you know, once you sell a lot, like from the 1800s, it was $1 or $5. Right now we charge $300. That doesn't do anything for maintenance and upkeep. So we're, you know, we're doing the best we can with all of that. But like Doran said, we decided we would try to get a project cost to see what it would be, and maybe just take it to the voters and say, what do you think? Can we get some funding for this? So we're not ready for it yet. We're working on the numbers. But there's, you know, the cemetery is in need. So
we're aware. We're just not sure how to fund it. And it's usually the problem. So, I mean, it's unfortunate, but you know, we're hoping to do something where if we could get it up to speed to where the maintenance side of it might ease up a little bit as well, because we're spending, what are we spending exactly right now, Mike? Or not exactly, but it's over $30,000 just in maintenance per year now. And I know we've got folks that aren't happy with that. So,
yeah,
I mean,
that's basics.
That's not including what we spent on perpetual care for some of the upgrade, or I shouldn't say upgrade, maintenance work. From tree removal, it was desperately needed, and to the stones being straightened. And we've got a lot of sites out there, folks, that are, you've got this going on, and we don't need to know why, but it's just happening. So we need to do some balancing and, you know, just those types of things. We're not looking to go build buildings. We're not looking to do anything extravagant. We would just like to get it up to speed. Therefore, I think we could maintain it much more affordably. But that's what we're going to have to deal with. So just warning folks that we would like to see support for it, of course, but we'll try to come up with a reasonable project that makes sense for everyone.
I do want to say thank you for what you have done, because I've been coming to meetings. I did do it before and after. It is so much nicer out there now.
Oh,
so
good.
What you have done is really effective.
Well, thank you, because those aren't normally the calls we get. So, unfortunately. But anyways, we are aware of it. I don't want folks to think, I mean, Shelley and Carol take a personal interest in it. And it's just our funding. There's nothing in our budgets for it. So, that being said, does anybody else have anything on board announcements? Bill?
Indirectly, it doesn't amount, it is not in this township, but you should be aware that Milton Township has completed the purchase of Mapleverse. It was done the last day of December. So that 400 acres with the lake will be open to the public. And I think it is right now, to tell you the truth. They will be making trails. I don't know, it will be up to their park commission as to what they do with it all now, but it will be open to the public. and it's a good asset. It's right at the extension of Winters Road to the east. So you can go right down and see it there.
Okay, well,
good piece of property.
Does the board have anything else? If not, I guess we'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much.